What up? No, it is time. It's almost time for UFC 298. Tonight, we're going to bring you our picks, thoughts, predictions, parlays, and all that stuff, and tell you who we got going on this Saturday before we get to this Sunday, where we'll be live and in living color at Harpo's here in Detroit for Circle 6 Seven Nation Army. I feel like it's going to be a war, as past guests of the show, Bobby Beverly takes on Drake Younger, and then fellow past guests of the show, Hoodfoot, is going to war with Orrin Vite. But with that said, we are talking about UFC 298, but before we get to UFC 298, I got to tell you about our fine sponsors at Potter's Tree Service. If you are in the need for, where are we at? Where's my thing? There you go. If you're in the need for tree removal, tree trimming, chipping service, storm damage cleanup, walnut logging, or lot clearing, Potter's Tree Service is the way to go. Make sure you check them out. Tell them Knockouts and Three Counts sent you, and I promise you, you ain't going to be mad at it. So look at that number right there. Give our guy Asa a call. Check them out and enjoy the show.
This is the Ring of Honor, a.k.a. Shane T, boy, the baddest champion you ever seen, boy.
This is Mr. Anderson.
This is good old JR Jim Ross, and you are listening.
You're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
Cover! Cover! We got a cover world champion!
That might be one of the craziest knockouts I've ever seen in my life.
Knockouts and Three Counts is the podcast meeting to the real deal, baby!
Knockouts and Three Counts starts now.
What up? No, that's right. It is almost time for fight night. And before past guests of the show, Miranda Maverick goes in there and does her thing against Andrea KGB Lee. And Alex Volkanovski takes on Ilya Topuria. And Bobby Knuckles gets him some Apollo Costa. We got some fights to talk about. So without any further ado, J-Bone, Corey, how the fuck are you?
What up, man? What up?
We got a hell of a weekend, dude. Between this and Circle 6 at Harpo's on Sunday, it's about to get gnarly. And then next weekend, we're going to see somebody get knocked out down at the Motor City Soundboard. So if you're going to be at any of those events, make sure you check us out. But how are you boys feeling headed into Circle 6 and UFC 298 on Saturday?
Okay, Corey, how you feeling?
The fights, actually, I feel like Volkanovski does one thing well. He always brings the excitement out of me for these fights, man. And I don't know if it's something to do with the fact of the highest level of competition, top of the pound for pound type of list guys, but I just always appreciate a Volkanovski pay-per-view week. And I feel like this one has this surprising twist where I feel like everybody's wanting, even if they're not wanting, they're picking Topuria to be the new guy. And it's just, I'm excited to see what actually ends up playing out Saturday night in regards to that fight.
I want to get, how you feeling, J-Bone? What up though, Bree?
Dude, that's a hell of a point though. Like, First of all, Volk coming out as old man Volk at the press conference.
Oh,
dope! I want to start dressing like that on Saturday nights, man. I'm gonna start. You know what I'm saying? I'm old. Fuck it. You know what I
said? I'm old.
He pulled the straight Uncle Chase, man. That's the first thing I thought of.
You know what? I just had an idea. An old man bar crawl. We all just dress as old dudes.
Okay, Johnny Knoxville.
We could pull it off, couldn't we?
That'd be great.
I'm tired of this, Grandpa.
I think we could pull it off fine.
You know, let's not say we did. But with that said, man, I was looking down this card at these fights, man, and obviously I'm looking forward to see what the homie Miranda Maverick does against Andrea KGB Lee. I feel like it's a tough fight. According to the UFC odds, though, that they have on UFC.com, they've got Miranda as the favorite. I think she's going to get the dub in this one, but Andrea KGB Lee is not nothing to play with. What are y'all's thoughts on this fight?
If we're jumping right into it, I mean, the first thing that surprises me, honestly, is the fact that she's opening the night. That's what really surprises me. I feel like this I had mentioned it, and I mean, I honestly put my bias aside because, like you said, we had just had a really good conversation. For anybody that did miss that, go back, check it out with Miranda Maverick. But I put my bias aside when it came to that. And honestly, I think this is potentially the most intriguing fight on the prelims throughout the whole, you know, all the way through until we get to the main card. And it's the fight that they have opening the night. So I'm genuinely surprised they went in that direction with it. That being said, I agree with you, and I guess Vegas as well, that I feel like Miranda Maverick will be able to get it done with her pressure and her top game. But I'm surprised it's that early in the night, really, is my biggest and best breakdown I can give.
All right. Well, J-Bone, what you got?
I mean, we ride that momentum wave all the time on the show, man. And Andrew Lee's lost three in a row now. Miranda Maverick, three out of her last four, she's won. So let's ride the wave of momentum. I'm taking Miranda Maverick on that one. Bring it home, man. But I'm glad it's opening the show because I like catching those early prelims. You know what I mean? I ain't doing nothing at that time of the day anyway on a Saturday. So I'm
going to be a little preoccupied at that time of the day, but I'm with it. All right, so
it's one thing I've noticed that they've been doing a lot more lately is they've been adding that kind of like, if you're a real fan, you're going to want to watch that first fight type of thing. They've been doing that a lot with these fights where it's mm-hmm. like, hey, you know, normally there's plenty of fights on this card where they could have definitely filled in this spot a lot better than these two women in my particular. It just doesn't make sense to me other than to get viewership tuned into it early. That's the only thing that I guess would make it make sense to me, I guess.
Well, I mean, back back to what we used to talk about, what we were talking about with TKO and WWE, professional wrestling, we always know if you're not last, you want to go first. So maybe they're getting that little crossover from WWE. Hey, let's put a banger on right at the beginning. That way people want to get there.
I can see that.
I mean, I definitely think it's a great fight to start the night off. Obviously, we got to chat with Miranda Maverick and learn about her power of the pickles and all those things. Make sure you go check that out while you're there. But with that being
never
said,
hold a straight face when you say that. So.
It's pickle power, bro. What do you want me to tell you? I mean, I think I still got some of those pickles somewhere, but just all she's got to do
that one on a shirt.
What?
Pickle power?
I dare you to put that one on a t-shirt.
She needs to put it on a t-shirt and give us our royalties, man. If she ain't already done that, pickle power is where it's at, bro. I'm just saying, anybody who missed that episode, go back and watch my live taste test of Miranda Maverick's pickles. But I think she's going to get the dub against Andrea KGB Lee for sure.
I'm tweeting that out if she wins. Hashtag pickle power. Go Miranda.
Damn right. I think she's going to get the win. Andrea is a tough matchup for her, but for sure, like Corey said, I think the momentum is going to be the difference on this one. Purely just because, like you said, I mean, she's on three losses. It's not that Andrea Lee can't get the win, but again, there's something about momentum, and we'll talk about that when we get to the main event fight. See, it's already started. It's already hashtag pickle power. It's the pickle power movement. It's already coming. I want my royalties, damn it.
What have we done?
But I think the pickle power is going to carry Miranda Maverick through this fight and get her a dub. That was the one I wanted to point out off the early prelims. On the main prelims, you've got Justin Taffa stepping back in there as an underdog, too. You might be able to make a little money off that one. Underdog, at least according to UFC's betting odds, and with him being a knockout guy, man, you take him for knockout and that plus money? Come on. Says plus 124 to a minus 148 for Marcos Rogério de Lima. I don't know, man. Something in this fight tells me that Justin Taffa is going to get this dub, bro. Something tells me that he's going to get this dub.
His last three wins been a TKO in round one.
Hello. There you go. Guy, what did I say about that momentum? I'm riding the wave, dog. Let me run with Justin Taffa real quick. We'll all do a shoey when he gets a dub.
All right.
Stop.
I except disagree on said Chewy. And well, no, I just disagree. I don't drink out of shoes. It's a rule I developed real young. Honestly, I probably got yelled at for it as a kid or something. You know, it's just ingrained in deep inside.
We're starting off hot, aren't we? Pickle power and drinking out of shoes.
But beyond that,
let's reel them in, fellas.
Yeah, let's to get them back. Now, Rogério de Lima really.
I wasn't out of left field. Okay.
No, I knew where you were coming with it. But that being said, Rogério de Lima really surprised me with how rough he looked in that loss to Derek Lewis in his last fight. That was one of those fights where the UFC was trying to build another potential UFC heavyweight, you know, top 15 kind of guy with a win off of Derek Lewis's back. And then big boy Derek Lewis did what he did, landed that flying knee and put de Lima to sleep. So it was a big opportunity lost. And I'm really curious to see if because he's in there with another knockout guy, the loss to Derek Lewis being as big of a potential career hit as it may have been, of course it was a knockout loss as well. How much does that weigh on his mind and stuff like that? I feel like this is going to be one of those fights. Like I said, also taking on another knockout kind of guy, we might see a grounded heavyweight battle, boys. That's what I think we're going to see in this one. Lima's going to try to get him down. I think de Lima's going to try to get him down and chase submissions. And I think, honestly, he's going to end up finding one, to be honest with you.
So what kind of wager are we putting on this then, Corey?
Here's another little prop to think about. De Lima's last three losses besides Derek Lewis, the three losses before that, all to southpaws. Mm-hmm. Justin Taffa, southpaw.
I'm telling you, Justin Taffa by knockout.
If we're digging deep, you got to look there.
Justin Taffa by knockout. The momentum wave is going to ride him on this one. I'm not saying anything derogatory about de Lima at all, but like
wasn't Taffa just on a losing streak before that?
He's on a three-fight win streak all by knockout.
Yeah, he's on a three-fight win streak, and he had the no contest.
Okay.
He's on a three-fight win streak all by knockout in the first round.
Yep.
Well,
you might be thinking of a different.
Maybe they're. Yeah. No, there's only the two. There's the brothers. I know.
I am definitely thinking that it's going to be. I think Justin Taffa is going to ride that wave on this one, but that's not to say that de Lima isn't going to be a tough test for him. But I think. I don't know,
He's got a point, though. I think de Lima has to
watch. I say that, and he's going to get caught. But
de Lima knows. If we know his coaches know, you know what I mean? Like, he knows the stats. He knows what the momentum's been like. He does need to chase that submission. He needs to get him down. And that could be the only way he could have a chance in that fight.
Yeah, like I said, I'm riding with Justin Taffa on this one. Anybody who's watching, let us know who you got in the comments on that one. All right. The other one that we got to talk about off the prelims, you got Amanda Lemos versus Mackenzie Dern. I'm going to just say this. If Mackenzie Dern don't win this fight, bro, she's going to be in some real trouble. Like, call her a star all you want, but she has not looked good in her last couple fights.
Yeah.
And even if it's not something to where maybe they're going to look at her like getting her released, because I don't necessarily know that will happen. I think she's going to have to do some serious working, though, to keep herself, fighting those top five, top 10 contenders if she loses. And if she loses in bad fashion, that's going to be even worse. Since I'm already talking about it, I'll go first on this one. Hey, man, I respect the jiu-jitsu of Mackenzie Dern 100%. I think she's a tough fighter for sure. But, bro, I think Amanda Lemos is going to fuck her up in this fight.
What
Corey, you next. Go ahead.
Yeah, what worries me, man, because I'm a Mackenzie Dern fan for many reasons. You know what I'm saying?
Me too, but, my dude, but I'm just calling it how I see it.
But no, but
anyway, it's not after 10 o'clock, damn it.
Not quite yet. It ain't after dark yet. But that being said, no, honestly, to transition to her fight game, I'm a big fan of her fight game too. I really liked the aspects that she was able to bring there just a couple fights ago when I felt like she was really on the climb and was just one or maybe two fights away from a title opportunity. And kind of, honestly, she doesn't find herself far off with this fight with Amanda Lemos. I feel like it's another kind of sink or swim opportunity where you win this one and another one, you're that girl in line still. But what worries me with her so much is we haven't seen that her skills, like, aren't paying the bills type of deal. It's not like that. It's not like what she's learned isn't working. It's like she forgot what she learned. It's like she was learning some really good stuff and was starting to be able to implement it in her fights and then just kind of lost it. It's like she wasn't able to bring that same type of pressure. She wasn't able to land the same type of takedowns. I know every opponent's different and stuff like that, but that being said, man, you can just see that she definitely seemed almost lost out there, to your point, in her last two, maybe even three. And I know some of those being wins, but that being said, I just want to see Mackenzie Dern go back out there and be the fighter that I thought she could be, and maybe even be a better version of that. She's not that old. She's in the athletic prime of her life. You know, like I know she split with her coach and stuff like that. So I don't know if that's what significantly hurt her game, was trying to find new coaching and stuff like that to get to that same level again with someone else. But I don't know, man. It's rough to be a Mackenzie Dern fan right now. And to your point, Kyle, I agree. I think Amanda Lemos, especially if Mackenzie Dern isn't able to find takedowns in this fight, Lemos is about to go out there and piece her up.
If they stay on the feet, Amanda Lemos is going to be a problem.
She's going to go up. Yeah.
I out there like and piece her up,
and it's going to be a problem. But Lemos is susceptible. Yeah, Lemos is really susceptible to jiu-jitsu, though, because remember, Andrade was able to land that standing arm triangle against her. So, hey, submissions can be found in fights against her. But that being said, I still lean towards, I don't know if she'll be able to get her down. So, probably Amanda Lemos, unfortunately. But go on, J-Bone. Sorry.
Well, let's not forget, Amanda Lemos is coming off that title fight with Weili Zhang, too. So she not only did, well, she was in a, I mean, it's a title fight. This is a little different, but the thing that Mackenzie Dern, only thing that she has going for right now is none of her losses have been consecutive. So if she takes an L here, that's the first two in a row. But like Kyle said, she could be in trouble, man, because she's not impressive in her wins. You know, it's back and forth. She's just squeaking by with decision wins. So she goes up there and gets dominated, which I think she will on Saturday. Like Kyle said, she could be in a lot of trouble in the UFC. She might be gone soon, so we'll see what happens. That being said, I'm taking Lemos.
I don't know that they get rid of her if she loses this fight, but all I'm saying is, though, if she loses this fight, it's going to make it extremely hard for her to just stay up there in, like, automatic title contention.
Mm-hmm.
Because, if, like Corey said, if she wins, yeah, sure, that'll keep her right where she needs to be to stay in that title picture. But if she loses this and then loses it in bad fashion, it's going to be a tough mountain to climb.
Yeah.
But we'll have to see how the cookie crumbles on that one. But with that said, you've got Anthony Fluffy Hernandez versus Roman Kopylov.
I always forget that that's his nickname.
UFC doesn't even have the odds up here on this one, so that's interesting.
I got it on DraftKings.
What
right
I
now.
Had heard. Yeah, go ahead.
Kind of lopsided. They got Anthony Hernandez as -256 as of right now. Kopylov +210. Wow. That's just the money line.
What's crazy about so this
get that
fight,
one early
for Kopylov, I'll guys. Be honest, though. Here's what's crazy about this fight to me, right? Like,
I'm looking at the lineup that they have here. I'll pull it up so you guys can see it on the screen. But let me see. Share screen. Okay. As you can see, if you're looking at the stats here, you know, both guys are coming off a win. But the thing that kind of worries me, I guess, in this fight for Hernandez, you know, you got another one of the Russian guys in there with Kapilov. I feel like Kapilov's going to want to get this one to the ground. And I feel like if he does, it's going to be a problem for Anthony Hernandez. Trying to think. I mean, I want to go with the American guy, Anthony Hernandez. I know that's one of Corey's guys, but fuck it. I'm going to go with Kapilov.
I get it.
Russian barrel.
Well, see, all right. Not to steal your thunder, but Kapilov is the opposite of the quintessential Russian guy, because he's actually more of a striker with an unproven wrestling background. That being said, being from Russia, you assume this guy can.
That just because they like to strike doesn't mean he don't know how to wrestle.
My point exactly, but that being said, I feel like this, it's going to be the opposite in this one. It's going to be the American trying to get him down, implement his jiu-jitsu, and try to find submissions and hopefully be successful with it, man. To your point, yeah, I'm a big fan of Fluffy Hernandez. He's turned himself into kind of one of them guys. If he was to be a little more active, I feel like he could be one of the fan favorite kind of guys. Unfortunately, he's not. So he gets the hardcores like myself. But that being said, dude's super entertaining. He's got that true, like, dog in him kind of mentality in every one of his fights. I'm surprised by how big the odds are, though. I mean, Vegas must be real confident. Yeah. Vegas must be real confident in my boy Hernandez, man. But I'm a little less so. I'm still going to go his direction. I feel as though that Kapilov just isn't tested to that level that Hernandez has been. And to be honest with you, it seems like every time Hernandez does take these kind of step-up fights, he really goes out there and outshines. He outkicks the coverage, or however you want to word it. He does better than expected in these kind of, you know, fights like this. And he was already scheduled with, I believe it was another one of the tough Russian guys. I think it was, I can't think of who the guy was right now, but he was already scheduled for one of these, you know, two top prospects who's going to face the next top 15 kind of guy. And so, here we go. I think this is one of those put up or shut up moments, and let's see if Hernandez can get out there and get it done.
All right, J-Bone, who you got?
Dude, I'm looking at the odds over here, and this is so, like, I feel like it's out of the, like, it's not right. It can't be right. So if you're playing the odds, you better get it now, because I feel like come fight time, this is going to change a lot. But both guys riding four or five win streaks. Yeah, dude, I don't know if they like you said, if Vegas knows something that we don't, I don't know, but I'm taking Kapilov on this one, dude. He 4-fight win streak, all by TKO. The last time Anthony Hernandez did take a loss, it was by TKO versus Kevin Holland. So we got that. So I'm riding the momentum thing, like we said again. I'm gonna take it, man. Especially with this kind of odds. You gotta take the finish too, right? Yep. That's going
to
bump it
not
up.
To jump in real quick. Isn't Kapilov the guy that unfortunately got the finish on our boy Josh Frem in the last one?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah.
The bad dude, like, bro.
He looked like a world beater in that fight, and I know Josh Frem's no one to play with. So
if you take the prop for Kapilov right now, it's plus 350, which is pretty damn big.
Yeah, that's wild to me.
Like I said, I don't know why,
especially coming off that kind of performance. But
I don't know why that's where it is, but get it now before it changes, because I guarantee it's going to change come Saturday.
Get it while it's hot.
Better get it right now, man.
Next one we got up, man, is an interesting one, because I feel like it's another one of those crossroads fights, but I feel like this fight could definitely show out and be one of the show stealers on the fight. You got Merab Dvalishvili versus Henry Triple C Cejudo. Now, with all the talk about Alexander Volkanovski and Ilya Topuria and Whitaker and Costa, I feel like this fight is kind of like sliding under the radar to a degree. Anyone that really knows what time it is knows that Merab Dvalishvili has pretty much been that guy who should be next up at 35 for a long time. I think just because of his teammate and homie, you know, Aljamain Sterling, you know, having the belt, you know, he kind of bided his time. Well, if he wins this fight here and beats Cejudo, I don't think that even with all the stroke that Sugar Sean O'Malley says he has, I don't think that he's going to be able to avoid having to fight Merab if Merab wins this and wins this in spectacular fashion. That said, I also would argue that I think this is going to be Merab's toughest test too. You know, Henry Cejudo being a former champion and really on the back, and I don't want to say the back nine, like he can't win this fight, but he's obviously towards the latter end of his career. So I also would say that he's probably going to be coming in there ready to bang too. So I don't think Henry Cejudo would be holding anything back. Not that you ever should in a fight, but that said, again, I say this all the time, I'm a momentum guy. I like Merab in this fight. My only question with this fight, though, is the layoff because of wanting to wait out the title going to be a problem for Merab Dvalishvili? But only time will tell. And it's interesting because he's doing a lot of cross training now, as he's not, you know, he's not over at Cerro Longo all the time like he was. And then I know he's training a lot out in Vegas, so it's going to be interesting to see where that's at. What's interesting about that is even with Aljamain Sterling being at Extreme Couture, he's over at Syndicate, if I'm not mistaken. So
I believe so.
Yeah, that's an interesting interesting camp choice, being the fact that his boy's Aljamain Sterling. But with that said, I'm rolling with Merab Dvalishvili on this one. I would say probably by a decision. But whichever you one of you gents wants to go next.
Go ahead, Corey.
Well, my thoughts on this fight are, I mean, we had kind of started to jump to it just a hair before we went live. And it's really what this is kind of such an interesting fight in the sense of, yes, Merab is kind of that guy that he's the Bilal of this division where, yeah, he probably could have, should have had his title opportunity. You can say the Aljamain Sterling thing kept him from it, which understandably so, you don't want to fight your friend, but here we are, the first title opportunity, and it's, you know, it's about sales, and that's why they're bringing in Cheeto against Sugar. You know, it's a fun fan type of fight, but to have Merab not just be, I guess, in the wing and waiting, and instead now have to take on another number one contender fight with Henry Cejudo, coming off the loss against Aljamain Sterling and Cejudo, it's such an interesting fight, though, just stylistically how they match up. I mean, Cejudo should be able to stuff most of Merab's best weapon with the takedowns. Merab should be able to stifle most of Cejudo's best weapons with his like timing and his striking with all the constant pressure. So who's going to be able to kind of rely best on their B side in this fight is what's going to be the winner in my eyes, if that makes sense. I feel like Henry Cejudo is the more well-rounded fighter. So part of me wants to keep leaning towards that direction, but Merab's just that guy where he is almost impossible to beat. His pressure is so he never lets up ever. It's just constant. He's going. And if Henry does start to slip up, it very well could just be a snowball that turns into an avalanche downhill. But I feel like Henry Cejudo is going to find a way, man. I feel like the story of Henry Cejudo is not over, and I feel like we're going to see him go get a win in this one and then maybe take on somebody like Corey Sandhagen or something like that for another crack at that belt.
I mean, I feel like
I love when you go before me, break it down analytically. Break it down for me. You almost sway my opinion every time, though, man. But like you said, though, the pressure game from Rob is huge, and the longer this fight goes, I think it favors him, you know, even more. So,
but it's three. It's
three rounds, and he ain't getting Rob out of there in the first two. So that third round's gonna be crucial, and I feel like three rounds of pressure from him on anybody. Dude's on a 9-fight win streak, bro. That says it all. You know what I mean? So I'm taking Marab by decision.
Yeah.
All right. So I got Marab. He's got Marab. Are you taking Marab or Cejudo?
I feel like Cejudo is going to step something up and, like I say, extend his career a little longer. I think we end up seeing Cejudo lingering around the top. I feel like I'm a Marab fan, so let me preference that with, like, I kind of do want Marab to win, honestly, if, like, you know, heart pick. But I feel like Cejudo is really such a kryptonite in the matchup. If he's going to be able to stifle all those takedowns. I know Aljamain Sterling was able to get some takedowns against him, but I feel like Aljo's a 45er that was cutting down to 35 and is significantly bigger and stronger than Marab is. Marab just relies on that pressure. So that's where I feel like the difference will be between those two. So I don't know, man.
Don't forget, he's got the furry hat power. That he mauled him like Russian bear.
Hey, I could be completely off on it. Man.
These guys could both just neutralize each other's wrestling, and we should have a stand-up game. I mean, you never
know. So Cejudo's got good boxing, too. So if that happens, it's going to be interesting.
His whole bladed style, and he's good with his range, man. That's what worries me, is if he's able to get Marab where he's starting to shoot from further out than he should and stuff like that, because he's unsuccessful with the first couple. But Marab's just so – he's so hard to discourage. That's really the problem, is it's going to be like – how do you stop a guy like that? That says, "Okay, you stop that one. I'm gonna keep, you know, I'll grab, you know." He just keeps fucking going, never stops. So, I don't know. I almost talk myself out of my own pick, but I feel like I just feel like it's a kryptonite matchup, man.
All right, next fight we got is a grudge match at this point between Jeff Neal and Ian Machado Gary.
This one's gonna be good.
I think that this fight could steal it. And I mean, look, bro, it's no secret Ian Machado Gary has been a killer in there so far. Like, you can't say that that's not the case. But with that being said, it's like I go back to the same thing that we were talking about when he was scheduled to fight the last time, and especially now that he's fighting Jeff Neal. If he don't win this fight after wearing that shirt with his mugshot and all that shit on it, you're gonna look like a real jackass. I don't know how else to put it. Like, don't get me wrong, I get it sells a fight, I get it that you're talking trash, but another thing that really stuck out to me in the lead up to that last fight that Gary was supposed to have is the fact that he, as soon as he started getting some heat from people kind of firing stuff back at him, the guy who says he's just selling a fight and with the t-shirts and all that seemed to get a little bit up in his own little skin a little bit.
Yeah.
So
did he delete his ex account at one point because of some shit, right? Yeah.
Turned off comments. And if I'm not mistaken, it's still like that too.
Something like that, yeah.
To this day.
But with that said, I mean, I think Ian Machado Gary probably gets the win in this one. But if there were any fight I was going to tell you to take the plus money on, I like Jeff Neal in this fight. Because I feel like, and I could totally be off base, but something just in my gut tells me that Jeff Neal is going to come in it with something to prove, and I think it's going to make him fight better. While Ian Machado Gary, in the same light, I feel like he's going to feel like he has something he's got to prove, And in doing so, I feel like he's going to either try a little harder or it will make him freeze up a bit. And that's why I say if there were any fight I would tell you to take the plus money in, I think it might be this one. Or if not that one, Cejudo. But I think the smart money is Machado Gary. But I also, again, man, I'm torn on this fight because with Jeff Neal's boxing too, like it's not like he's going to just, I wouldn't think he's going to just blast through him either. So I'm going to pick Ian Machado Gary, man, but I really think Jeff Neal could come out here and shut his mouth. But whichever one of you guys wants to go next.
Go ahead, Cor.
To have Ian Machado Gary, I really just want to say Ian Gary. I don't even want to throw the Machado in there because just kind of with everything that's going on in the Ian Machado Gary world, it just kind of adds to the punchline, I feel like, every time you say his name. So, but that being said, I feel like this is a really big fight for him in the sense of he was supposed to take on Vicente Luque, who's already one of those guys in the division who's like, hey, you cannot sleep on him. Hey, he will knock you out if you don't play. Like, if you're not on your P's and Q's and go out there and put on an A-class performance, you're probably going to lose to that type of guy. You know, not saying Ian Machado, but just anybody in general. That he, you know, them guys are killers. Well, Jeff Neal actually is coming off a knockout win over Vicente Luque, if I'm not mistaken. So that being said, he kind of went from – I know this fight was originally booked, but if anything, he kind of got to step up an opponent, or at least at this given time with the way that fight played out. So I don't know, man. It's a real tough matchup to your point, Kyle. I don't know which way to actually like give my like technical breakdown of like, oh, this is who I genuinely think is going to win, because I'm like, I don't know, man, both of these guys pose their own serious danger.
I think somebody's getting knocked out.
Yeah, I feel like this would be a good fight to bet the fight does not go the distance on. That might be a good one to add to a parlay or something like that. But I don't know, man. Ian Gary to go. I don't know if you guys were watching any of the embeddeds or anything this week, but he's down training in Shooto Box in Brazil. He's got his kids speaking Portuguese and shit now. It's like, I don't know, man. He's so all over the place, and it's worked so well for him to this point in his career, being through all these different gyms and dealing with all these top level coaches and just bouncing all over the world to be this top level athlete. Does that catch up to a guy? I feel like it has to eventually, right? Like never building that true full relationship with a camp and never having that guy that is able to focus in and hone on your skills, or maybe he's getting the best of all worlds where he's able to get all these different looks from top level coaches and really learn to improve himself throughout that experience instead of trying to focus on improving the gym. I don't know, man. That being said, to your point, Kyle, Jeff Neal, killer hands. He's one of those guys in this division that is just I feel like it's a very winnable fight for him. The height disadvantage really kind of surprised me. I thought Jeff Neal was a little taller than that once I seen them standing next to each other at the weigh-ins or ceremonial face-ins or whatever that was earlier. It wasn't weigh-ins, but it was the press conference. And I don't know, man. Does that length might be an advantage when you're talking two boxers or two strikers going out there looking for a finish. So something tells me the opposite of what you're saying, that I feel like Ian Machado Gary is going to find a way to get this one done, but it's such a dangerous fight. And like I say,
to I go think from Gary Vicente Luque. The opposite.
I thought you said you had the feeling.
No, I said I picked Gary, but I said if there were ever a fight that you were going to pick for somebody to get knocked out, I think somebody's getting knocked out in this fight.
Yeah, it definitely wouldn't surprise me, but yeah, I think that size is going to be the advantage that is enough to wane my opinion, at least. I feel like he's going to be able to use his range and get the win.
J-Bone, who you got?
Well, boys,
who you guys got for this fight?
You know, I like to play the risky side of the of the parlays, but no, but this one, honestly, you would think a finish in this one would be the money way to go, but according to DraftKings, it's not. This one is only plus 110 to go under 2.5 rounds. So they're saying this one's going to go late into the third. So over 2.5 rounds, minus 140. Ian Gary is minus 230. So it's not too far off. I mean, if you want to get him at a knockout, it's only plus 250. So that's really not that much for a guy like that. But if I'm picking a prop on this one, Vegas knows something. Like we said, I'm going to say it's going to go the distance. But I think this one, like you said, Kyle, this one has potential to steal the whole show. This could be a war, dude. And it could come down to the very last couple minutes of this fight.
Talk about the personal rivalry, bro.
Yeah, yeah. And Jeff Neal ain't no hoe. Let's just say that. So
not
he's
at got all.
Something to prove. He's going to go out there, and I feel like they're going to fucking box this hoe. They ain't going to go to the ground. It's going to be a boxing match, and we're going to see who's got it, man. But I'm taking Gary by decision on this one. Only because y'all picked the finish, though.
All right. Now it's time for co-main event time. So we've got Bobby Knuckles coming in against Paulo Costa. Now, looking at their records, it's interesting because at first glance, I would have thought that Costa had more losses, but he's had so many fights that have fallen out. It's crazy to think that he's still only 14-2, and he's coming off of a win.
And his only losses are Marvin Vettori and Izzy.
And Adesanya.
That's it.
Yeah. So his last fight was against Rockhold, right? And summer of 2022, was it?
He's had a, in his defense, though,
four fights fall through, though.
They had his last couple dropouts, I would say, are less his fault. They made an announcement and then a month and a half backpedaled it because they wanted to then try to run the match versus him versus Hazmat. And then once he got hurt, through the staph injury or whatever it was, staph infection. Or some type of thing going on in his elbow. I mean, you can't really fault a guy for that if something comes up.
No, you can't fault him, but my point with that is that whether it's his fault or it's not, cage rust, and like we talk about on the wrestling side of the thing, ring rust is a whole nother fucking thing. Just like we were talking about with the return of the Rock, bro. He's going to have to get himself in a whole nother bunch of shape if he's about to be in a match at WrestleMania. The same is, I feel like, again, even though I'm sure Paulo Costa is training and being in a fight camp are two totally different things, I feel like. And the length of time that he's been out of the cage could be a thing. Now, to your point, his only two losses are against pretty much the best people that you could lose to at 185. But if you're asking me who I think's going to win, I like Bobby Knuckles in this fight, even though he's coming off a loss.
Do you?
And again, I know that goes against my normal way of picking when it comes to like momentum and all that, but I just don't like that long of a layoff for Costa either.
Yeah.
Costa's one of those guys too, where he's like, he either shows up and really puts on the night, or he just seems like he's just like that big muscular guy that just goes in there and
you know, that's what I'm saying.
It's one or the other. Yeah.
Right. And that's why I feel like with this fight, with him not being as active and with all the back and forth on social media and all that shit too, I also wonder where his focus is going to be headed at in this fight. Not to say that the guy couldn't come in there mentally sharp and just come in there and destroy Whitaker, because I mean, he's a big dude. But again, I don't know. I feel like all the shenanigans and stuff outside the cage, I like Bobby Whitaker in this one. But that said, man, I know Costa's still going to be tough.
What version of Costa shows up on the night is what I was going to follow up with my last statement with, because if he's able to take notes on what DDP was able to do to Robert Whitaker, I mean, I don't know if that was just Robert Whitaker not showing up on the night. He had talked about he didn't match the energy of a big, strong guy willing to bring it all in that last fight. And then here he is matched up against a big, strong guy who, if it's the right night, may be willing to bring it all. So does Bobby Knuckles show up, and do we see that version of him, or do we see the more tame Robert Whitaker that we've seen in the last couple of years, where he kind of plays at range and just kind of stays back and lands his 1-2s and couple body shots and wins rounds and will still win fights in that way, but he just doesn't seem to have that killer edge as much as he used to in his earlier fights in his career. And I was super successful though with that. I mean, look what he did in that second Israel fight. I mean, people like myself thought that he very well was, if he didn't win that fight, he was just one round that was close away.
What up, though, Mickey? Mickey's so, saying he's got Costa.
To bring that back, I'm glad that comment actually came up because it rounded my thought out. Is Costa, if he's smart, man, if he sees what DDP was able to do to Whitaker in his last fight, man, he poses a real threat to somebody like Robert Whitaker. If it's not Bobby Knuckles, if it's not that guy that's going out there looking to really do his game and land it with authority, I feel like if he's just playing that pitter-patter, I'm going to just step back just enough, and then I'm going to fade away, but I'm not going to actually fully get out of range. If he does that type of shit against somebody like Paulo Costa, man, all he has to do is take one non-traditional MMA or boxing step in and just land one of these power overhands, power hooks. I mean, it's all it takes with somebody as big as him. I hope, since I'm more of a fan of Robert Whitaker, that he's able to not just say that, but actually mean it and then implement it in his fights. The whole fact of you have to match that energy, especially when you're taking on a bigger, potentially stronger guy. But skill for skill, yeah, Robert Whitaker. Game for game, yeah, Robert Whitaker. If it goes to the ground, if it stays on the feet, always around, I say Robert Whitaker should win. That power, that tenacity, if Costa is able to actually bring that on the night, it could really change that. But I root and pick Bobby Knuckles, and I'm going to say it that way because that's who I want to see on the night. But that wouldn't surprise me.
All right, J-Bone, what you got? Hey, man,
look, here's a fun fact. Remember what I said about Tom Aspinall a while ago? I said, for some reason, I just don't like Tom Aspinall. I never said he gave me a reason. Tom has no reason to give me a reason not to like him, right? Costa, Ricky Martin does, okay? I don't freaking like this guy. I never have. I don't know, man. Just something about the guy. I never liked him. I've always liked Bobby Knuckles. So that being said, Corey, you made a good point with the pressure. If Bobby Knuckles can go back to what he knows, man, and just pick his spots, play a chess game like that out there, like we've seen him do with all those victories, I think he's going to pick him apart. He won't finish him because that's not what he does in that type of fight. But that can put the pressure and put Bobby Knuckles on the back foot, I think he's going to be in trouble, dude, because that's a big dude coming at you in a different type of energy, like we've seen it with DDP. And I feel like it just depends on who's bringing their A game on that night, who's coming to fight. But if I'm picking, I got to pick my guy, Robert Whittaker, man. And I think he does go back to what he knows, the original blueprint. He's going to pick his spots. He's going to hit him hard. He's going to hit him fast. He's going to get out of there. He's going to win the fight by decision. That's my pick.
Float like a butterfly, yeah, sting like a bee. I hit you so fast you couldn't even see. You got to get it together, Bobby Knuckles.
Let's go.
I touched on it. I touched on it for just a second in my breakdown, but I just don't like the way in the more recent years that Robert Whittaker exits range. He doesn't like protect himself in the way that he should. He kind of throws his shots and then thinks that he's safe when we've seen clear instances where he's not, you know, and I feel like that cost him a lot in his last fight. It cost him in that Izzy knockout. It even cost him in that Izzy decision loss, because I feel like if he was able to just apply a little more pressure in certain instances, he would have had that decision go his way. But that being said, you don't want to be exiting in an unsafe manner against somebody like Costa, that's for sure.
All right, that brings us to the main event, which, man, this is where my momentum theory might come back and bite me in the ass. You got the champ. The champ is here. And no, I'm not talking about John Cena, but I wouldn't be shocked if we see John Cena come back again at some point. But with that being said, and I'm not talking about CM Punk either because he ripped his arm off. But with that said, we've got Alexander the Great Volkanovski taking on the undefeated killer Ilya Topuria. Dude, this fight is going to be a banger, but I just... this really burns me because on one hand, I really want to say that Topuria is gonna take that belt off of Volk. But then again, there's the other part of me that's a huge Volk fan and says that I don't believe that there's anybody at 145 that could really beat him. In my opinion,
so tough.
I feel like if Volk wins this fight at 145, he could sit down almost for a while at 145 before he needs a fight again, because I feel like Ilya is like the last killer of the 145 division for him to really kind of take out. I like the fact that Volkanovski has a full camp going into this one. I like that he's had time to train for one guy. I feel like that had a lot to do with the second Makhachev fight. Why that looks so different than the first fight, because he took it on such short notice, and I don't think he was fully, you know, I'm not going to make excuses. I mean, Makhachev went in there and did what he's supposed to, but I feel like there was a noted difference in what we saw in fight one versus fight two. But with that said, that's what this fight really boils down to me on this one. If Volk can get through this fight, I feel like this pretty much cements him through at 145. And Topuria is like that, you know, like, again, to use our pro wrestling side of things, he's like that young Wardlow looking cat that they need to strap a rocket to him, and he destroys everybody. Mm-hmm. And if Topuria comes in here and fights like Topuria does, it's going to be a rough night for Alexander Volkanovski. But Mickey coming into the comments, Alexander the Great all day. He's got something to prove on this one. See, this is where I have a hard time with this fight, and this is where my back and forth comes from, because I agree with that statement 110% that I believe he's got something to prove, and I feel like we're going to see a tougher Volkanovski. You know, hot damn it, I'm going with Alexander Volkanovski, but man, this kid Topuria scares me.
his knockout ability scares me. I agree with you there. His ability that we've seen in his move up to 55 when he fought Jai Herbert in I thought was about to get knocked out and then came back and was able to weather the storm and then still find a finish against a tough opponent up a weight class. That kind of makes me a little worried because honestly, I'm on the camp of Volkanovski all day. I think people are really, I don't want to say overestimating Topuria, but I feel like they're just like thinking that Volkanovski is just gone with the weather. He's just old man Volk out there. You know, I mean, shout out to
and I don't, Volk. But
I know you.
And he's embracing the role. He's embracing the role with the get up today.
Yeah, I know you're not necessarily, but it seems like from just following as many podcasts and as much news stuff as I do, a lot of people are leaning in that direction, and a lot of people statistically and analytically are even leaning in that direction. And I just feel like Topuria is, he's really good, don't get me wrong, but I feel like he's much more one-dimensional than Volkanovski. I mean, he's really good with his boxing, and he has really solid power with that boxing. But I feel like other than that, we haven't seen him really like land some crazy body shots. We haven't seen him really implement his kicking game. We haven't seen his jiu-jitsu. If I'm not mistaken, he might have one sub in the UFC, but he's not like this like super ground specialist that can also knock you out, that also has good wrestling. Like, he's a good boxer who has really solid power if he's able to get it there. But I feel like Volkanovski is somebody who he's not going to let somebody like that implement their game. He knows what Topuria is good at, in my opinion, and will do his best to counteract that and then play off of that. So I feel like this is, to me, one of them fights where you got to be a little more well-rounded, I feel like, to get somebody like Volkanovski. That's why up a weight class, Islam was able to do it. But I just don't see the same type of – I mean, yeah, did he lose by knockout? Could he be the guy that now maybe his body just doesn't accept blows the way it used to? He takes a solid shot in the first, the second, the third, something like that, and it just puts him out. Sure, I would hate to fucking see it though. I really would if that was the reason. Is all of a sudden he ate a head kick, only took 4 months, whatever the actual turnaround was, to now get in another world title bout against another type of power guy. I would hate to see it because of something like that. It's one thing if you can just tell it would have been a shot that would have put out a horse. But if it's just one of them shots where it just grazed and all of a sudden bolts out because his body just said no because it was too quick, I would really hate to see that. But other than that, man, I feel like Volkanovski's super game. He's great everywhere. We've seen him really do good at being the shorter fighter, but yet being significantly longer in the fight than these other guys. And I feel like that will be such a big strength in a fight like this against a boxer, a more pure boxer in Topuria. So I'm going Volkanovski. What's your thoughts, J-Mo?
Well, like Mickey said, Volk's got something to prove here, man. We see he can be knocked out. We've seen that happen. He don't want that happening again. And he knows the danger that this guy has in his boxing. So I think King Volk, he knows what he's doing. He's smart. He's going to go out there and smother this guy for 5 rounds, take him into deep waters. Because look at this is Volk's 9th title fight in a row, dude. 9 in a row. That's saying something. Topuria ain't been here yet. This is a different pressure. And pressure is what it's going to take, I think, for Volk. He's just going to, like I said, pressure him the whole fight, keep him pinned down, keep that pressure on him for 5 rounds, man. Take him to decision and win it. My pick is Volk by decision.
All right, man. It looks like we're all picking Volk, but, man, I'm telling you, don't sleep on Topuria. But I don't know, man. That pretty much covers UFC 298. Again, shout out to past guests of the show, Miranda Maverick going to war on the early prelims. With that said, again, like I said, that ain't even the whole weekend for us. J-Bone, now that we've gotten to talk, Corey, I want your thoughts on this too. But we also got this Sunday, we're going to be live and in living color at Harpo's for Circle 6
Seven Nation Army. Yeah, boy. And it's about to get gnarly in this bitch. Donald is buying the beers. But with that said, with the interviews that we've gotten to do leading into this show with Kevin Gill, Dale Patricks, and Hoodfoot, and your other half of your main event in Detroit, Bobby Beverly, how are you guys feeling headed into this show? J-Bone, are you feeling any different now that we've done these interviews, and what are you looking forward to?
Oh, dude. I mean, Circle Six is just a good time. And you know, if you're a wrestling fan, go check it out, man. Come to Harpo's, hang out with us. We'll be chilling. We'll be drinking some beers with the fellas. But I'm ready to see who's jumping off that stage, I'll tell you that. And honestly, to
my money's on Matt Justice. If we're taking bets, let's take bets.
Who's jumping off the stage at Harpo's? I'm taking Matt Justice.
Matt Justice. That's got to
be the best. Is
Matt Justice. Make sure you do it right above the sign that says no stage diving, though. You got to get that.
And if there's a scaffold, make sure you stand right under it. Right under it. Especially with two guys fighting on top of it.
I mean, I know we got some banger matches coming for Circle Six, man. But honestly, I'm just looking forward to meeting up with some of the guys. Kevin Gill, I've never actually met him in person and shook his hand, but he seems like a stand-up dude. I'm looking forward to meeting him, man. So that's going to be cool. This is going to be.
See, she's ready for the blood. She knows what time it is.
It's going to be blood. There will be.
There will be blood at this one.
Bring some freaking some eyewear too. Just so you know, if you're going to be in the front row, you might want some safety glasses. Got some, actually.
Otherwise, you might fuck around and find out. Corey, after the interviews that we've gotten to do in the last couple weeks to get you ready for Circle Six, how are you feeling headed into Seven Nation Army, and what are your thoughts after talking to said guests?
Shout out Hoodfoot. That one, as always, will get me excited whenever I hear his name on a card. I know there's going to be at least one good match whenever I hear that his name involved. That being said, no, honestly, we had a ton of good guests leading into it, man, and every single one of them did a really good job of not only promoting themselves, but promoting the reason why they want to be affiliated with an event like Circle Six, or an organization, should I say, like Circle Six. And from all the experience that I've had with the wrestling organizations and stuff that you guys have brought me out to, I definitely say Circle Six, they add a really good spin on the indie wrestling, deathmatch wrestling world and stuff like that. They bring their own little flair. I liked what they did at the Hanky Pank? What was the one place in Detroit where their venue was the first time we went and seen them?
When we
what was it called, dude? It looked like an old school freaking little.
Was it called the Jolly game. The Jolly Rancher? Was that what it was called?
No, it wasn't.
No,
it
was,
I'm gonna called, look this man. Up, but I know what you're talking about. We sponsored that show. That was where they had the hybrid ladder match. We got some free shirts. You know, we talked about some good stuff on there. Shout out to past guests of the show, Atticus Kogar too.
But to see them, you know, on their kind
of. We gotta know before we get out of here. We gotta know.
It's like the handy jobby or something like that. I kept making
fun of that. Yeah, dude. The handy something. God, what the heck was it called?
But either Jack way.
Handy? Or
that might have been it.
It was a cool little venue. Either way, though, I'm excited for what
they bring. Be careful what you put in your search history, Kyle. Just, the jam handy.
Jam handy.
There you go. It got handy.
Jam handy. The jam handy. Clear your search history before you
or else you'll end up with a jam hand, bro. For sure. No, but the what jam they bring handy. They bring their own experience every time they've came to the area. I'm excited to see what they do here at this kind of return or revamp of Circle Six.
It's been a couple years now since they've been here, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he had talked about how they kind of took a little bit of time off to lead back into this like revamps phase, I guess. So here we are, and I'm excited to see what they bring to the city again. So
it's gonna bummer our, Sunday. Be a bummer come our guy D-Mac ain't coming. Hell yeah, Sundays are for the boys, but it's gonna be a bummer our guy D-Mac and Tommy Vendetta ain't gonna be there. But shout out to them, they're headed to the UK to go fuck some shit up for ICW No Holds Barred.
We'll have to talk to him in the process. Two of the pillars of Michigan wrestling, like he said, put on, represent, show him what time it is out there in the UK. I saw Kobayashi, which we heard Bobby Beverly talk about being one of his favorite matches, is going to be there on that card in the UK as well. And then Dale Patrick's and Bobby Beverly are going to go at it Friday before they get here to Detroit. So, bro, it's going to be a weekend. I might have to play a referee between Mad-Eye Maddox and Jay the Tank. Hell yeah, I'm going to wear a lot of different hats this weekend. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and hit that hat so you don't miss any of the great shows. Next week, we're going to be talking some LFA MMA as our guy Devin Smith is going to be in the main event next weekend, LFA on UFC Fight Pass. And then the following Thursday, man, we're going to be talking some local MMA as the fight night at the Soundboard gets closer as well. And stay tuned because we've got a few guests that might surprise you a little bit on the way here soon. So in the meantime and in between time, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you hit that like button. All the buttons. Share the buttons. Like the buttons. With that said, make sure you hit that button. Peace.